folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart. Happy to be here another week, enjoying still some pretty moderate temperatures. It's pretty warm outside, but the animals are getting ready for winter. We'll talk about that in a little bit. In the meantime, grab your favorite beverage, latch on to your favorite snack, jump into your favorite comfy clothes. Don't worry, I won't peek, and join me on the big comfy couch or the chair or the floor, wherever you're most comfortable, and let's get started, cannolis. This week's news, though, huh? Forget about it. It's like the writer's strike ended and the universe said, hey, let's make CNN look like The Sopranos meets The X-Files. First of all, New Jersey. Mayor Roz Baraka. Yeah, that guy. He decides he's gonna stroll into an ICE detention center like he's starring in some superhero movie. Dude, you're the mayor, not Tom Cruise. You didn't run for office to show up at the detention facility and play the hero. You were supposed to fix potholes, stop the crime spike, maybe do a nice ribbon-cutting ceremony for the new library, but not go up against federal law enforcement, and certainly after you caused most of the problems in that department, or helped. I says to him, sir, you can't go in there. And he's like one of those uncles at Thanksgiving. Don't tell me what to do. This is my city. Boom. Trespassing charge. Finally, the politician gets arrested for doing something he actually did today. Not some shady tax evasion case from a decade ago. This was live action dumb. Of course, because it's Jersey, the charges got dropped, and a week later, just Jersey justice, baby. The only people who do real time here are the poor schmucks who forget to pay the parkway tolls. But think about that. How is that for a message? You're the mayor, you interfere with federal law enforcement, and nothing. Nothing. What kind of message does that send to the average Joe or the ICE agent doing their job day in and day out? And here's the kicker. These politicians love the grandstanding. Look at me, I'm protecting the vulnerable. Protecting the vulnerable? Bro, your city's got potholes big enough to swallow a Fiat. Crime spiking like it's Black Friday at Best Buy. And you're busy trying to stop ICE from enforcing the law over problems that you had a part in creating. Maybe handle the actual problem first before you play Captain Conniving. Or better yet, don't be a part in creating the problem. Remember who your constituents are. They're not Ahmad and Muhammad. More than likely, they're a Tony, a Guido, a Vito, an Anthony, another Tony, Raul, and maybe a Jerome, a Maureen, or a Gunter. 5 years ago, white made up 55% of the population in New Jersey. Hispanic and Latino was 21.6, Black and African American 13.1, and Asian 10%. The majority of the white people were Italians, Irish, German, Hispanic or Latino, Black, and Asian. And we also had some American Indian and Alaska Natives and some Native Hawaiian or Pacific Islanders thrown in there as well. And also some Jewish people. New Jersey, you guys don't need a joke. You are the punchline. We need to get these states under control and get these dirty politicians out of there. And politicians, oh my gosh, this week it's like Oprah out there. You get arrested, everybody gets arrested. I can't even keep up. Senators, mayors, governors. By next week, they're going to start handcuffing the guy who delivers the bagels. And the reasons? Not normal stuff. It's never like the old days, oh, he cheated on his taxes. No, it's like he took bribes from a Ukrainian penguin cooperative, or he was laundering money through a pizza parlor that only sells calzones shaped like the Virgin Mary. The politicians are dropping like lobsters in a pot of boiling water on Christmas Eve for the Feast of the Seven Fishes. They're dropping like meatballs on a plate on Sunday dinner. Indictments are everywhere, which is further fueling the part of the underground movement that is totally sold on trust the plan, Trump's working secretly behind the scenes, and oh, by the way, buy your Q stock now. I'm not saying that that's not part of the equation, that some of these bad guys are finally being brought down, but these geniuses don't even realize they're proving every conservative's point. Law and order? Out the window. Accountability? Gone. The second you put politics before the law, you end up with a mayor in Jersey treating ICE like it's the mob shaking down his neighborhood. In Jersey, Representative LaMonica McIver, one of the members with him that day, was also charged with assaulting and interfering with federal officers during the scuffle outside the facility. When have we ever heard this before? And it's public officials, too. Des Moines Public Schools superintendent and former Olympian Ian Roberts was arrested by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement on September 26th 2006 for allegedly residing in the U.S. illegally. During his arrest, he allegedly fled from the police and was found with a loaded handgun, $3,000 in cash, and a hunting knife. He also has existing firearm-related charges, including a 2021 incident in Erie, Pennsylvania, to which he pleaded guilty in 2022. Nevada State Senator Edgar Flores was arrested on September 12 for driving under the influence. Well, at least that was kind of normal. He was found asleep at the wheel with a blood alcohol contact just above the legal limit. Flores was booked into the Clark County Detention Center after being suspected of driving under the influence. New York City Comptroller Brad Lander and 10 state lawmakers were arrested on September 18th during a protest at a Manhattan building where U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents operate holding cells. They were taken into custody inside 26 Federal Plaza after they were denied entry to inspect the 10th floor cells. A group was there to ensure compliance with a court order requiring ICE to improve conditions at the lockup. So there's a bunch of ICE-related issues that we never would have heard of in the past because it wasn't a thing. Now, while all of this chaos is happening on the ground, we've got that 3AI Atlas thing. Oh boy. Sometimes it appears, sometimes it disappears, sometimes it plots a course like Christopher Columbus with Wi-Fi. 1 minute it's over Cleveland, the next minute it's gone. Nobody knows what it's made of. Titanium, graphene, dark matter. I don't know. Part of a piece of lasagna that was in my refrigerator and a Tupperware in the internet. Oh my gosh, suddenly everybody's Neil deGrasse Tyson. Clearly it's composed of nanoplasma graphene. Relax, Vinny. You sell vape pens in Queens. You don't know nano from Nochi. Half these people pointing phones at the sky, they're not even looking at Atlas. They're just taking selfies with streetlights. Look, I found it. Nah, you found the Dunkin' Donuts sign on Route 46. Congratulations, Galileo. As far as the politicians go, the media is treating it like it's just another day. Today, multiple officials were taken into custody. Yep, and the sun rises in the east. Big deal, it's not news, it's background noise. But the Atlas thing, some of them have kind of bitten into. Because come on, it's the fun part. This thing shows up like a nosy neighbor. Oh, look at me, I'm materializing in the sky. I'm made of... Oh wait, nobody knows what I'm made of. Bro, if you're made of unknown material and keep vanishing, you're not an Atlas. You're my cousin when the rent is due. Show up when it's convenient, disappear when responsibility hits. That's Atlas. And people online are losing their minds. It's the alien. It's Nibiru. It's a Vatican cover-up. Listen, if aliens came down here and saw Jersey mayors getting cuffed while ICE is doing its job, they'd be like, nope, not today. Keep flying, Giuseppe. It's too messy, too bureaucratic. Newsflash, if they weren't here illegally, they wouldn't have to worry about being put in detention centers that we're also funding. And if these nasty politicians didn't let them in and give them all of our money, they wouldn't have to concern themselves with the fact that these immigrants might be in what they want to consider subpar conditions. Why? Because they're not a penthouse? Those fancy hotels when they're throwing our veterans out in the streets where they're getting $1,200 a month and we've got families that are working 2 and 3 jobs and can't afford to feed their children? Come on. And the mainstream media is also playing up ICE, who supposedly are arresting people that are American citizens. That storyline is taking a rise again too. They are doing everything that they can to bastardize ICE. These guys can't even do their jobs because they've got trans people and liberals up in their grill pulling on their arms when they're trying to put people in the car. They're shutting the car doors. Have you seen these clips? And the people are coming up and opening the doors trying to get the guys out? Seriously? One lady got her just desserts this week. She ran out of her car because she was trying to film an ICE arrest to make sure that the illegal immigrant wasn't being mistreated. And she left her car in drive and it ended up in the lake. That's okay, sweetheart. Maybe you can marry an illegal immigrant and he'll use part of his $1,200 to buy you a new car and make the payments. How do you look in a burqa? At least maybe then you could use that as an excuse to not be able to find the shift to put the car in park because you couldn't see it. Or maybe you'll discover the error of your ways and come to the light. We have meatballs.
I'm in love with the queen of cannoli.
Since we've been talking about the 3-Eye Atlas, I wanted to address the strange alien creature in Panama some of you may have heard about. But first, even though it's early in the show, folks, I already need to refill my coffee. I hope you enjoy these musical snippets throughout tonight's show from James Hilton Cowboy.
I woke up this morning with some pain in my back. Coffee ain't strong enough. and my patience is cracked.
Supposedly a guy named Kin, K-I-N, and he goes by at Kin Panama, found a piece of a meteorite or a rock in his backyard or a crater in Panama in the Pedregal district. And he kept posting videos that this at first little thing and then grew bigger and bigger, alien tentacly covered thing, substance grew out of it. And it was supposedly sprouting roots and it was growing, responded to light, breathed, moved. And he kept taking these videos, and then he put it in a safe. I guess he put it in a refrigerator at one point. And then the most recent report now is that he released it into the water and it's growing, but it's staying close to the water's edge. And I'm not buying it. I think that this is AI and smoke and mirrors. The first thing I would do if I found something like that is I would take it to a local, probably a college, because that would be the easiest resource for me, but a local college science lab and have it tested and give it to them to see what they make of it. But none of that's been done. There's been no peer review papers. He hasn't shared a sample with any labs. There's been no verification by any kind of geologists, biologists, even astrobiologists. There's not any media coverage, mainstream media. This came out on TikTok originally. I think it's a hoax. I don't think there's anything to it. But people are positively fascinated with it. It's a hot topic, so I wanted to address it. But yeah, I wouldn't make anything of it. He said that it grew when it hit the light. That doesn't make any sense for a carbon-based organism. I think it's all a bunch of baloney.
Don't got time for all these games. I bled too much to quit. So get out of my way, 'cause I ain't got time for this.
I'm just going to jump right into the whole Charlie Kirk thing, share with you some more information that I found out this week, and again, use your discernment and see what you come up with. First off, I thought that when Mrs. Kirk went on stage with President Trump, they just appeared a little bit too chummy. I was actually a little bit uncomfortable, not because he was showing her compassion after the loss of her husband, but they just seemed to be a little bit too intimate, and their facial expressions, the energy that they projected, or at least that he projected, was weirded me out. And then I found out that, allegedly, she operated a ministry in Romania that was accused by local residents. This is according to Feminist News, which I don't usually follow or read, but I happen to see this. Supposedly, Charlie's wife was accused by local residents of relocating children internationally under the pretense of orphan or mission work. Some reports mention that her ministry was asked to leave Romania due to local outrage and suspicion regarding the fate and handling of these children. But when I was just a guest, actually, no more than 15 minutes ago, on Rascala's Red Pill reality show, he said that he did some background work and it was supposed to have been that the organization was accused of that, but before she was a member, so previous to her joining that ministry. But I'm thinking about the whole relationship with Trump and her and how they acted on stage, and I did some more digging and found out that she was the Miss Arizona 2012 for Trump's Miss USA pageant. Her mother worked for the Department of Homeland Security and has ties to the Department of Defense. She was a millionaire before marrying Kirk and now has amassed his fortune and media empire. People are saying that she is one of the most powerful women in America, and fans are even encouraging her to run as vice president in 2028. That from Feminist News, as I said. I looked into her beauty pageant, and she won from juggling balls. So it wasn't like any big talent or anything like that. It was surprisingly kind of boring in nature, and from what I understand, she wasn't even really that good. It wasn't anything really impressive. The other thing is, apparently, Charlie Kirk's father had a hand in the construction of the Trump Tower. So there's another connection of the families. And going back to the beauty pageant, supposedly Trump used to go into some of the women's dressing rooms during that pageant, and she was one of the women that he visited. So whether or not that's true, whatever their relationship was, it appears to be longstanding. And that energy is more in tune with what I witnessed on stage. That fits. that they've known each other for years, and that maybe they had some sort of personal entanglement years ago, or maybe their families were interconnected because she was so wealthy. And addressing the wealth, I will play one clip from They Hid It From You. Listen to this.
No grieving saint. She's wired into the machine. Knights of Malta? Spot on. She flashed that black cross pendant in her first widow clip. Same one every sovereign military order knight wears. And her family's donated heavy to Catholic orders forever. Freemason angle's subtler. Her dad, Kent Francfay, wasn't just Raytheon. He chaired their Israel division, funneled billions in Iron Dome cash while Charlie's old man designed Trump Tower. Yeah, but also the bunker levels nobody admits exist. Erica? Inherited $23 million at 25 from a trust. Come on, that's not beauty queen money. That's Mossad's slush fund. She started Everyday Heroes as cover, funneled donations straight to pro-Israel NGOs. And that G-ring? Not grief. Grand Lodge symbol, worn by 33rd degree insiders. Delivered that speech 2 days after the shot? Because it was pre-taped. Voice forensics say the room echo doesn't match. Lighting's wrong.
Charlie Kirk's widow whispers her final goodbye to her slain husband in his casket.
I love you. God bless you.
Sam Altman, OpenAI CEO, was at the funeral. Blackstone CEO, ARM CEO, Barclays CEO, Microsoft CEO, Salesforce CEO, Apple CEO, NVIDIA CEO, Fox Chairman Emeritus, we're all there. Maybe it's the wake. I don't know. It doesn't tell what it is, but they're all there. And now I see that we're sitting down to eat, so maybe that's the wake. I'm not sure, but they were all present either at the wake or the funeral. Then they show another picture of the wife with this turquoise green ring on. Looks like a big square ring, but it's actually the Knights of Malta symbol in the ring. The video also had some text to read from John Mappin he put up. It says, Charlie Kirk and Turning Point, a special relationship with London and the UK, Kirk's impact on Harvard, Oxford, and Cambridge, by John Mappin. In December 2018, a chance introduction sparked a pivotal moment at London's Royal Automobile Club, where my wife, Arena, and I hosted Charlie Kirk and introduced the founder of Turning Point USA to the United Kingdom. The exclusive evening was billed as a gathering of political genius. It did not disappoint. The initiative was supported by Nigel Farage and was backed by Robin Burley, Lord and Lady Tyrone Plunkett, Amanda Elias, and Peter Southall. That night, we launched Turning Point UK, TPUK, and forged priceless connections that helped to amplify TPUSA's global momentum.
Used to raise some hell with the smoke in my teeth. A six-string slung low and a pistol underneath.
And one of the other things that they noted was, why did she have a microphone on when she went up to pray at the casket? Like, who does that? That's not normal. And that's when they showed the orange hand again, too, which we talked about last week. So that's all I got. I feel, I'll say it again, this is a distraction to keep us away from what's really going on, to make us not pay attention, and to further divide and separate us as a people. Also, potentially, to throw a woman in the next political arena for maybe the next presidential election, maybe, and to create a new martyr. Remember, the bad guys need to tell you what they're going to do. They put it out there in social media, movies, music, books. These signs clearly, like with the orange hand, the microphone, all of it, put it all together, use your discernment, pray on it, talk to your higher power and see what you think. But they're telling you without telling you. They're putting it out there and making it so blatantly obvious that something's very, very much amiss here, that natural inclination would be to dig deeper to find out what happened, or at least have an idea of what happened. And that also keeps you busy and distracted from what's really going on, from what they're trying to hide from you. What is going on politically? What are they signing?
But now my boots got holes, and my heart's got some cracks. I ain't here to make friends, just here to get my peace back.
I'm not going to waste a bunch of time about the t-shirt blowing up or the ballistics or the guns, because that's just totally a circus sideshow in my opinion. None of that makes sense. None of it appears accurate. As somebody who's used firearms, who's hunted on occasion and target practice, the bullet exit wound, even with the spine thing, the blood, all of it, it's just really, really sketchy. Also, the whole thing with the scope, he took it off, he put it back on, he didn't calibrate it. All of that stuff that I'm sure my listeners are on top of and have been following, because you are what? You know what you are. You're savvy.
Savvy.
And no autopsy at all. That totally reeks. I feel like it's an old Led Zeppelin song. It's overplayed and I'm over it. And we may discuss a little more next week if some more events unfold. But other than that, I'm kind of done with it. Not to knock Zeppelin or anything, but you know what I'm saying. It's overplayed. It seems like everywhere I look, and I'm sure you feel the same way, it's something about Charlie Kirk or Charlie Kirk's wife. And everybody's Quincy MD and trying to figure out what happened. We're never gonna know all of the details. So all that we can do is speculate and hope he is somewhere on a beach and that he's safe. Enjoy the show, right? And if you think I'm being harsh, go listen to last week where I explained I'm not. More videos have come out making fun of the fact that this man may have died, and that's just horrible. That doesn't say much for us as humans, especially since these clips are from people who can't be too concerned about their career, like this next one from Shelby Campbell, who is a Democrat who's running for Congress in Michigan.
Hey, MAGA, how bad does it hurt that Jimmy Kimmel's back, but you guys can't get your person back?
That noise at the end is her laughter. Anybody that's worked in spiritual warfare will tell you what that sounds like. It's kind of creepy, isn't it? There's a reason for that. When I said it doesn't say much for us as humans, that's because some of these people have other energies in them or on them and around them. Let's light up the post office and everybody send a letter telling government what they think of this girl's behavior. What do you think she would do if elected? What kind of attitude do you think she would take for someone else that lost a loved one that simply didn't align with her political beliefs or her personal beliefs? This is disgusting, and we all need to send energy and prayers that she gets cleared of whatever's got hold of her. And I definitely feel like it's more than one.
Too tired to pretend, too sober for regret, too scarred to play pretend, don't got time for your drama, your lies or grit, you keep your nonsense up.
The next clip's pretty short. There's a rapper or singer, NLE Choppa, never heard of him. He's talking about how he survived his humiliation ritual. You know, the rituals that they make you do to become famous and to have money and get everything that you want. But he claims that he went through the humiliation ritual and passed it with flying colors because he was praying to Jesus and God the whole time. And that's how he was able to make it through his humiliation ritual. There's an inherent problem with this that I know that my listeners will pick up on. You can't serve two masters. You need to pick a side. And it's very disheartening to me because the people who are commenting, good for you, you prayed to God to get through your humiliation ritual. That's pretty scary. It's pretty scary that modern day Christians don't have the ability to be able to figure at least that one out on their own. And that's why we need to come together and have these discussions that we do. Nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes. But to bring awareness to each other and to help each other to learn that clearly you need to pick a side. This is a spiritual battle. And you can't justify having all of the things that you want that you receive from making a pact with the dark side and then be able to claim that you know God or Jesus. You can't have your cake and eat it too. It doesn't work that way. As much as we would like for it to, unfortunately, that's not the reality of the situation.
I passed my humiliation ritual with all honors,
with flying colors. But the only difference between my humiliation ritual and a lot of others is I was walking with God the whole time. Being deeply rooted in prayer, deeply in search of answers, and deeply rooted and grounded in the palms of his hands through the process of this whole humiliation ritual.
That was legitness.
Yeah, it was.
And to me, it's kind of the same thing as all this rapture madness that we had last week. The Bible clearly says nobody's going to know when all of this stuff happens. It's right there in Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Do you really think that God would make it possible for you to figure out the rapture or the day Jesus is coming back? That's egotistical. And who controls the ego? I have a humorous clip I want to play from Garon Music. It's comedy about the rapture. I thought it was funny, so I want to share it with you. Because even though it's tongue-in-cheek, it sort of speaks in reality to how modern Christians view the teachings. And just for the record, let me say that it's my feeling that we will have a feeling. We're getting these gut pulls. There are signs and wonders in the sky. Hello, 3IAIAEIOU Atlas. That let us know that we're approaching the times that are spoken of. These are the times we need to be getting our proverbial shit together and working on ourselves.
So I didn't get raptured, which is typical, to be honest. And it's a bit awkward because yesterday I forgave everybody who's wronged me, so I could get into heaven. I didn't mean it. So I just want to formally unforgive everybody. If you've wronged me in even a minor way, even a way you may not have noticed, or I said it was fine, or you thought it was fine, or anybody thought it was fine, I didn't think it was fine. And I think about it all the time, and I hate you for it, and you should just know that. Not a forgiver. And if anything, this has just freshened up the hate that I have in my heart for people who've done me wrong. So anyway, all the best.
The Banshee.
And also coming together as a people. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Mark Lamb, the American sheriff from Arizona. There is a lot of swirling rumors around his history as well, but I really like the message that he presents. He was on Sean Ryan like a year ago, and this is a clip from that show. Let's take a listen. It's everything I've been telling you right along. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. This guy didn't fit the narrative for what they were trying to bring into fruition, and that's why Carrie Lake won over him for Arizona's Senate primary.
Cowboy.
Scripture I always share, it's 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And really, the power in this country is we the people. That's the power. I often tell the story of why zebras have stripes. You know why zebras have stripes? Why? It's not for camouflage, because some people say, well, it's camouflage for their surroundings. Well, no, a lion is tan. It can be 2 feet in front of you. A zebra, you can see from a mile away. So the scientist wants to understand it. So he goes out, he's watching this herd of zebra, and he's watching one of the zebra, and he looks down to make a note. And when he looks back up, he can't find the zebra he was watching. It mixed in with all the other zebras. So he's like, I got an idea. I'm going to take a can of paint. He goes out the next day, takes a can of paint in his Jeep. He's like, I'm going to paint an X on the butts of a few of the zebras. That way I can watch them. So he goes out, takes his Jeep, does it, paints the X on the butts of a few of the zebras, comes back, and he's like, thinks he's pretty slick, gets up the next morning, the predators ate those zebras. What he realized was that the predators couldn't hunt the herd. They had to be able to identify one of the zebras to be able to hunt them. What he also realized is that the zebra stripes were not camouflaged for their surrounding. It was camouflaged for each other.
Interesting.
The power of the zebra's stripes was we the people, the herd. As long as they stood together as a herd, then nobody could attack them. The predators had trouble. But the second they were able to start petitioning off, they were able to get them. And you still need zebras like me that are going to paint a big red X on my butt and walk out in the field. That's, you know, I'm running for office. That's what you need. But mind you, we're not being hunted by lions. We're being hunted by jackals and hyenas. And our ability to stand together is our power. That's we the people. And I agree with you. More people are realizing we're in more of a spiritual battle than anything. And our ability to win this is to stand together, regardless of whether we agree on all aspects. And the government, the media, everything they do is designed to divide. They divide you on race, religion, politics, social ideology, COVID, whatever. Whatever they can divide you on, they do. Like we were talking earlier, I always explain about a flashbang. You know, the flashbang, little grenade canister that has no shrapnel, but we use it when we're serving search warrants or making entry into a building. You take the pin, you throw it in there, boom! It's a loud noise, it's a bright light and percussion. Well, it's designed to take away your hearing, it's designed to take away your vision temporarily, and it's designed to discombobulate you so that we can come in and take control of you. We have all been flashbanged. And if we don't get our wits about us real quick, we're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah.
And it's we the people is the power, and that starts because people are realizing we're coming together under a different concept of hey, this is a battle of good and evil. We may not agree on everything, but I'm on the side of good, and I want to come together to do what I can to fix it.
Be a cowboy, baby, with a top left and the sunshine shining. A cowboy, baby.
So we've been talking the last few weeks, and actually the last few years, about what the bad guys would like to have happen for us. The digital ID, facial recognition, credit scoring, the jabs, all of the nefarious things. And England and Europe seem to be going full speed ahead with their plans. I'd like for you to listen carefully to the next two videos. The first one by Trump Rocks It, and the second one by Katie Hopkins. If you haven't checked her out before, please subscribe to her. She's hysterical. She is very succinct. She tells you what's going on in Great Britain, and she does it with an amazing comedic flair with a really strong sarcastic bite on the side, which is probably why I like her. So listen to these clips and be prepared. This is what they want to see happening here.
I announce from October 1st, 2025, every household across Britain will see a new charge. £50 a month for every unused room in your home, whether it's a spare room, a guest room, or even your home office. You'll be paying for it. The government says this is to help address housing needs and encourage downsizing. But let's be honest, this is an added charge for hard-working families. People already facing rising costs will now be asked to pay for space they don't even use. If they can charge for your spare room today, what's next? Your garden, your garage, your living room? This isn't about resolving housing concerns. It's about taking more from those who are already dealing with a lot. Imagine a world where every inch of your home comes with a price tag, where your space isn't even your own. Britain, we stand at a crossroads. Will we accept this additional burden? Or will we stand up and say enough is enough? The choice is ours. The time to act is now.
Why don't you mind your own business? Mind your own business. Cause if you mind your business, then you won't be mind your mind.
Breaking news, still not quite in that bonkers Britain where apparently I'm a wanted woman. First up, digital ID, four words you need to learn and fast. I will not comply. It will be, of course, a centralised point of digital failure. Just look at what's gone on at Land Rover and every British airport, but much more than that. It's a centralised form of control that we do not need. The government said it will make it harder for people to work. Oh my goodness, because that's exactly what Great Britain needs right now, isn't it? We need to make it harder for people to work. I mean, last time I saw some rubber dinghy rapids rocking up on the shoreline with Mohammed, Mahmoud and Omar, they were so desperate to work. I mean, that's the reason they came here, just wanted to work. In other news, Tony Blair says that he's going to help run Gaza and Palestine. And the last thing that Palestine and Israel need right now is that stirring little juggy goblin rocking up and running anything. I might just start a rumour or two that Tony Blair is actually gay. And finally, Morgan McSweeney, yeah, that ginger one, he has fraudulently put in £740,000 worth of donations into the Labour Party. I mean, who would have thought that there would be fraud in this Labour government? After all, they lost their corruption minister on corruption charges. They lost their housing minister because she got a third home that she didn't pay tax on. They lost their homelessness minister because she made people homeless. So why would Morgan McSweeney be any different? That's it, my darlings. Not quite in Bet Bonkers Britain.
My pappy used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at MAGGIE_HEART at Outlook.com to get it fixed.
Next up from Cavell Cavan, why is one job no longer enough?
Why can't we get by in this country anymore just working one job like our parents and grandparents did? But when did survival become a group project? Everybody's so quick to yell, just work harder, grind more, pick a side hustle. But the real question is, why the hell should we have to? Why is one full-time job no longer enough to afford food, rent, and peace of mind? Why are we working 50, 60 hours a week away from our families and, you know, still checking our bank apps like we committed a crime? Why is owning a home now treated like some luxury fantasy instead of the bare minimum of our parents achieved with a high school diploma and a single paycheck? Why are people forced to DoorDash after 10-hour shifts just to afford eggs, gas, and maybe prescription medicine, maybe even diapers? Why do people celebrate people working for themselves into exhaustion, but shame them for admitting they're struggling? Why do we keep pretending this is normal? You shouldn't need a second job to just keep your head above water. You shouldn't have to burn out just to barely get by. Why is everything rising but except our wages? This isn't laziness. This isn't lack of ambition. I mean, this is like a system designed to drain you and convince you that it's your fault. I mean, it's not your fault. You're not behind. We're being buried alive and then told to be grateful for the dirt.
Wake, wake, wake up out of your sleep, wake up.
I had to go to Walmart yesterday. Everybody knows how much I cannot stand Walmart. And they were the only people that had what I needed within a 40-minute radius. So I bit the bullet. I went in there. I got online. There was a lady in front of me. Something happened. They were taking forever. She was a very sweet girl, her husband and two kids. So I went and tried to move to the next line over because that line seemed to be progressing and there was only one person ahead and their order was almost checked out. Maybe they did already change that fluorescent lighting we talked about that I've been showing you the videos on for the past couple of weeks. But Walmart's not just a store. It's like a low-budget Hunger Games with fluorescent lighting. You go in for toothpaste or something and suddenly you're dodging some woman in pajamas who's screaming at her kids while eating rotisserie chicken straight out of the bag. The vibes are just positively toxic. Half the customers look like they've ascended from the underworld for a midnight Mountain Dew run. So, of course, as I started to move over to the next line, this woman who looks like a WWE reject, and trust me when I tell you, the midgets could have taken her back in the day when anybody remembers that on Sunday afternoon. And she just went off on me. And I explained to her that the line was not moving. I'd been standing there like 5 minutes. I noticed that the line next to me was moving a little more quickly, and I just wanted to scoot over in that line. She raised her voice and continued to start to yell, even with her family there, and was attempting to embarrass me because she tried to claim that I cut her off as they were approaching the line. They were literally like 4 feet away when I was moving my cart over. It didn't even appear as though they were going to get online. So needless to say, that didn't end well. And I, again, swore off Walmart mentally. I try and do when I have to go there, team up a bunch of things and do the cart pickup where you pull in, just so I don't have to deal with these people. But I didn't need the minimum order of $35 or whatever. I just needed one item. Next time, I think I'll just Amazon it, even though I hate to support them. But these are the situations that we're forced to be in because the big box stores have closed down all of the good mom and pop stores. So I was already kind of in maniac mode, just trying to mind my own business and get the hell out of there. Suddenly, as a lover of music, that song popped into my head and made me feel a little bit better. So I'm jamming down the line to myself, and the lady who was waiting on me was learning to use the register, and she was easily 76, 77 maybe, years of age. My heart went out to her. This is what's wrong with this country. These people worked all their lives and retired. There's no reason they should have to be struggling to learn a cashier's position, especially with all the lunatics out there now. At her age, she should be home watering her plants and playing with her puppies and relaxing and enjoying life. It's sickening to see. We need to change this, folks. And she told the people in front of me to stay safe. And I made it a point to be extremely kind and sweet to her and tell her how much I appreciated her. And she, in turn, smiled and was very kind and told me to be safe as well. I was so touched by the fact that she was so gracious given her personal situation and was doing her job with a smile and to the best of her ability. And as an aside, she wasn't the one responsible for the line being held up. It wasn't anything that she had done wrong. It was the customers in front of me. Okay, getting back on track with the clippies. And this next guy is talking about our dystopian future. From Illuminating Eye.
The next 12 to 15 years, we are going to hit a short-term dystopia. There's no escaping that.
What is the definition of the word dystopia?
In my mind, these are adverse circumstances that unfortunately might escalate beyond our control. The way we define freedom, accountability, human connection and equality, economics, reality, innovation and business, and power are going to be completely changed. Not determined by AI, by the way. It's determined by the morality of humanity in the age of the rise of AI. As bad actors use AI, in the short term, we're going to have to go over that hump. Eventually now, I'm more and more convinced of the long-term utopia. But that's the first change. We will have to prepare for a world that is very unfamiliar.
Do you forecast the length of that dystopia?
I count it exactly as 12 to 15 years. The beginning of the slope will happen in 2027. We will see escalating signs next year and then a clear slip in 27.
Why?
You really have to think deeply about not the symptoms, but the reasons why we are living the world that we live in here in today is money.
So for a few minutes, I wanted to talk about this clip. Dictionary definition from Oxford Languages says dystopia is an imagined state or society in which there is great suffering or injustice, typically one that is totalitarian or post-apocalyptic. AI's overview says an imaginary society where life is extremely bad, characterized by misery, oppression, and a lack of freedom, often under a totalitarian regime. Newsflash, we're already there in some aspects. I think his time frame is skewered. I think that's way too long. Here's some of the things that I see coming that have been happening and will happen in the future and then progressing down the line. Political flare-ups. Everything is tender right now. Polarization, geopolitical tension, economic anxiety. There could be more diplomatic incidents, maybe between us and a country that we thought was stable. We're definitely going to see more tech and AI news that either totally messes with people's minds or amazes them. Economic jitters are still right there around inflation, employment, social and cultural backlash, like free speech, more of these campus controversies, like with this Charlie Kirk, we're already seeing that. That is inciting and inflaming both sides. And and some sort of possibly natural or scientific event. Do I think there's a potential for a natural disaster? Yes. This guy is, in a sense, and just like any of us, if we talk about it, forming your opinions and sort of starting a predictive programming type of scenario in your head. And so that's why we need to stay positive. We need to see the results that we want to see happen. We want to see everything staying peaceful. We want to see people coming together. We want to see the changes that we need to see in society. There's a huge erosion of trust, not just in the media, but in institutions and technology. People are going to start to really reject the official narratives more and more. This situation with Charlie Kirk was definitely another example of that. We're going to lean more into conspiracy theories because we're showing that most of those are coming true. So there's still going to be people coming from the other side. I think the younger generations especially are going to be showing more symptoms of the anxiety. They're going to be frustrated with their overall situation. It's going to be increasingly more discontent with the younger generations because they weren't raised to handle trauma and stress and anxiety the way that we were. So as things start to crumple a little bit more, it's just less of a solid footing that they have, and they've already been struggling to begin with anxiety and depression and having safe spaces and all of that. You're going to see an increase in that, unfortunately. Regulatory pushback. We've got a whole bunch of stuff going on with the government. It's going to be, I think, a little more chaotic. And the local versus global thing. In other words, because of what happens and what they're trying to make happen, people are going to become more internalized, i.e. they're going to have those communities we talked about. They're going to start to talk to their neighbors. That is going to happen. They're going to be more worried about me and my family than what's going on outside of their immediate community. And that's good in a lot of ways, but it's also bad in a lot of ways because I don't want people to become too concerned with their own personal survival as much as forming communities and networks where as a group you can help each other and still stay in a positive, loving, supportive environment as much as you can. Let's take a break from the heavy stuff and play an uplifting video about a cute little kitty cat by request. Well, the uplifting video was by request. I chose the kitty cat video by Made Bio.
Ever since this stray cat was adopted, there has been money at the owner's company entrance every day. What on earth is going on? The mystery was finally solved when the owner checked the security footage. Here's what was going on. Every evening after the office closed and the doors were locked, the little cat would position itself right by the entrance, like a furry doorman on duty. Passersby couldn't resist the adorable feline sitting there so patiently. Naturally, they wanted to play with it. But here's the catch. The gap under the door was incredibly narrow. The only things thin enough to slide through were paper-thin objects. So these well-meaning strangers started poking bills through the gap, expecting to play a little game with the cat. But who would have thought this little cat would completely break the script? Bill after bill from the passers-by's hands ended up in the cat's pocket, so to speak. Now, you'd think that after having their money stolen by a cat, people would stop this game, right? Wrong. These folks found it absolutely hilarious. Even after watching their cash vanish into the cat's makeshift vault, they'd pull out more bills to continue the entertainment. What started as isolated incidents quickly snowballed thanks to good old-fashioned herd mentality. When other pedestrians walked by and saw money scattered around the cat, they assumed this was simply the proper way to interact with it. Oh, I guess this is how you're supposed to play with this cat, they'd think, and out came their wallets. Before long, this entrepreneurial feline had accumulated quite the treasure trove. Feeling somewhat helpless about the situation, the owner posted a sign by the entrance. Please don't use money to play with the cat. It will take your cash. Please pet responsibly. But here's the twist. The sign only made things worse. Passersby found the warning even more intriguing, and the number of people bringing money to test the cat actually increased. So would you want to own a money-collecting cat like this one?
So, times are so tough financially, even little Tiger has to have its own job to pay for its kibbles. It's conspiracy theory time.
Guys, I'm gonna explain something to you that is so mind-blowing, so absolutely incredible, so unbelievable, that a lot of you will indeed find it very hard, if not absolutely impossible, to believe. But it doesn't make it less true. I want to ask you to hear me out. Stop the rat race of scrolling like a madman over social media and pay some attention, because this is worth listening to. Listen really carefully for a few minutes, because I need to explain it a little more in depth, because otherwise you would absolutely have no way of being able to believe this. What I'm going to demonstrate to you is that President Trump is literally liberating the entire world from the satanic British elites. How is he doing that? He is now, effectively, the king, not Prince Charles. Prince Charles is a dummy. He's a dummy from a ventriloquist, or I don't know how you pronounce that weird word. He's literally a talking dummy. President Trump is the king. He's the real king. I'm going to show you several things that will blow you away. First of all, President Trump, months ago, declared Canada the 51st state of America. He was not joking. And he called Trudeau his governor. He was not joking. He's not saying that because he's all of a sudden lost his mind. He's saying that because he is effectively liberating the British Commonwealth. Canada will become the 51st state of America. Trump can only make such wild statements if they have defeated the satanic British elites. He can only make such statements. And then he started talking about Australia, wishing Australia a happy new year. And then he started talking about the people from England and saying they know what's going on, Liberation Day. And then Elon Musk followed in suit, said the same things. Liberation is coming to the UK. They can only make statements like this if they have effectively taken out the Rothschilds and all those satanic bloodlines that have been ruling the whole world from within the city of London. Now listen really carefully to me, because I'm going to prove to you that something is happening in the world that is so indescribably powerful that it just blows our minds. Trump visited the United Kingdom on his Papi Trumpo account, and he has publicly confirmed that this is his account. I'll show it here again for those of you who have not seen this yet.
Win this! You are! You're gonna win this!
We're gonna win.
Yes, we are.
We're gonna win this country. Is finished.
Appreciate you guys.
Are you Papi Trumpo?
Yeah, I think so.
But Papi Trumpo, it's called a parody account, but it is the alternative back channel account from President Trump, where his team constantly posts funny comments, often with a deeper meaning. If you pay attention, then you see that it's very high level information that is sometimes posted there. And President Trump uses it to encourage the patriots who know what is what, who understand that is his account, and he's talking to them like a friend with humor, and he's revealing what's really going on the Papi Trumpo account. When he went to England, President Trump constantly posted, "The real king is here. The king has arrived. Look at this beautiful queen," about his wife. "She was dressed in bright yellow, which is historically reserved for royal families, for the highest authority. Trump was not received and not driven around in a limousine with police escort like Obama, Bush, and all the others. He was literally given the exclusive, unprecedented, never before, outrageously weird honor of riding around in the royal carriage, escorted by the royal guards. This has never, ever in all of history happened before. This is only for the king or the queen of England. And not even on every occasion. This is the highest of the highest of the highest honor. This is literally exclusively for the king of England." The fact that they drove President Trump around in the royal carriage, escorted by the royal guard, this tells us everything we need to know. But there's way more. Then he was brought not to Buckingham Palace like everybody else. He was brought to the freaking Windsor Castle, the royal castle, only for the kings, only for the Queen of England, only for the royal family. No foreign leaders are ever invited in Windsor Castle, but Trump went to Windsor Castle. And then, even more spectacular, he literally went on inspection of the Royal Guard. No foreign leader does that. They have no business doing that. And Prince Charles was walking many feet behind him. And all the press and media is going crazy, like, this is, he's breaking protocol. He's not breaking any protocol. He's following the protocol because he's the king of England. He's the king of the British Commonwealth. He has taken over control. He has eliminated the world rule of the Satanists who were ruling America from within the city of London. I'm not saying London City, I'm saying the city of London. And then he goes on inspection over the Royal Guard. That is unbelievable. And then he stands at Windsor Castle and the Royal Guard is being presented to him. They only do that to the king or the queen. They never do that for a foreign leader. That is insane. They do it only for the king or queen of England. And Trump stood there and he saluted the military of England. Hey, he has no business doing that. It's not his army. Or is it? And Prince Charles was standing there with his arms down. Guys, whenever President Trump makes these kinds of statements, like, the king is here, the real king is here. Look at that beautiful king. What a beautiful queen. He's not kidding. He's not making any jokes. Q has stated that they have an operation to save the world, save humanity. When Trump is saying he's going to liberate the United Kingdom, he's going to liberate Australia, he's going to liberate Canada, he's going to liberate the whole world, then he means it. And that's exactly what Q said. Q said, we are presenting you a new world. From dark to light. Nothing can stop what is coming. They are removing the old guard of Satanists that have been terrorizing all of mankind. And they are positioning themselves as the ultimate authority. And they are allowing, they're still allowing certain things so that the people wake up. But last weekend there was a rally of more than 3 million people in London. They are busy waking up the people. America is being liberated. The United Kingdom will be liberated. Europe will be liberated, the whole world. They have a mission to liberate the human race from the rule of Satanists. And God is with them, and they are succeeding. Follow me here if you want to learn more.
Sorry, that clip was rather lengthy, and I can't give you the name of it because there's a curse word, but it's blank was right all along. Now, here's one from the other side of the coin with Nick Fuentes.
Peter Thiel, the FBI informant and CIA contractor, Elon Musk, the defense contractor and PayPal Mafia member with Peter Thiel, close confidant of David Sachs, and J.D. Vance, who brokered the David Sachs fundraiser with Silicon Valley and Trump, mentored by Peter Thiel, mentored by David Frum, who worked for Bill Kristol with Tucker Carlson. Thiel, Musk, and Tucker lobbied Trump to pick Vance, and they said, if you don't, the CIA will kill you. Who's the CIA? Who does the CIA, NSA, FBI, DHS, who do they all contract with? Palantir, founded by Peter Thiel and Alex Karp and Joe Lonsdale, Israel First Jews, that after October 7th flew their board to Israel and provided them with facial recognition technology to murder Palestinians. J.D. Vance, who upon becoming the VP nominee in his first interview said, we're going to bomb Iran, who went to the Quincy Institute and said, we need a pro-Israel spin on America First. Tucker, who interviewed Vance 46 times on his show, Vance hired his son. Vance's Rockbridge Network was the spawning point of 1789 Capital, founded by Rebecca Mercer and Claire Monster Chris Buskirk, which gave Tucker $15 million. Rebecca Mercer, funded Steve Bannon at Breitbart that spawned Milo Yiannopoulos' career. And Rebecca Mercer hand-selected George Farmer, Candace Owens' husband, to run Parler in 2021. This is why they want me dead. Who's the Fed? Who's the Fed here? 'Cause I brought all the receipts.
Next up, a little comedy and Gen X.
Remember the evil parents used to do to us, send you to the store to buy this illegal for a child to purchase? Go down to that store, give me a fifth of gin and a pack of cigarettes. I'm three, they ain't gonna let me have that. Huh, take this note. They'll give it to you, too. You ride them on a big wheel with liquor and cigarettes. All your neighbors, that's a good little boy right there. You're gonna mount for something one day, you watch. Remember you had the screen door with the screen torn out? And you used to get in trouble for just running through the screen door. Bring your back in this house. You open that door and walk outside like you got some sense.
Okay, I have to tell y'all what happened to me. I was on my way home from work, stopped at McDonald's for Dr. Pepper, and there was a young kid working there. I say young, he was probably, I'm guessing 18 to 20. Have y'all noticed as you get older, it's hard to tell how old people are? So my Dr. Pepper was $1.94. So I'm trying to get rid of a lot of change in my Jeep, so I counted out change. I counted out $1.95, but I always wait till they count it to make sure that I gave them the right amount. So I handed it to him and I said, I think this is $1.95. So he starts separating them into nickels, quarters, and dimes. Then he starts trying to count it. Did I get it right? Is that $1.95? And he goes, I don't know. I don't know. He had to call his manager over to help him count $1.95 and change. And he tries to give me the penny back. And I said, I don't want the penny. He says, what do you want me to do with it? By this point, I'm sure I go home. I don't care what you do with my penny. I said, can't you put it back in the register? He goes, I don't think I can do that. I said, here, let me have it. So I tossed it over the top of my Jeep. I said, now someone can find a lucky penny. And this is the look I got. So I finally drove off. So there you go. Kids can't count change. But somebody's gonna find a lucky penny today, or maybe tomorrow, or next day. I don't know what's happening, but it seems to be going downhill quick. You know who goes downhill quick for a penny? Your mom.
That was I Am Jamie Foxx and Gen X Gina 66. Thank you all for listening. I hope you guys had as much fun as I did. We'll see you all next week. Good night, everybody. The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at AllMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you.